Good morning, Radhakala Chandridam. Good morning to all the assembled devotees. It's hard to top His Grace Chakraprabhu. He was so enthusiastic this morning, it would be ridiculous not to feel some of the energy that was vibrating through the temple. So, Prabhu, we never said it before, we appreciate you being here and the energy that you put into singing the holy name. Always a wonderful experience. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Jai, jai. We are going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, 15th chapter, and I believe it's a 17th verse. If it's not, it's going to be today because that's the information I got. But before we sing, we'd like to get the potency and the mercy of the Lord, of Sri Sri Radhakala Chanji, of Srila Prabhupada, of all of the acharyas, those that are seen and unseen. So we always start by singing Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari 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 Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe Jaya Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe Jaya Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jagannath Baladev Jaya Jaya
Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jagannath, Baladev, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Gonitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gonitai, Jaya Jaya Gonitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gonitai, Nitai Goro Haribo. Haribo, Nitai Goro Haribo, Nitai Goro Haribo, 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 Nitai Goro Haribo.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Kori Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Brahmananda, all glories to the assembled devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is the 19th of June, 2017, Monday morning, and it is a blessing to have physical assemble, visible to the material eye devotees that come in and have darshan with the deities and have and take association of the devotees in the morning. It's very special. I will always, unless I've completely lost my mind, always feel that it's an honor to come before the Lord, Shishigala Kalachanji, and to come before all of the assembled devotees in Radha Kalachanji Dham to speak of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the nectar. And I hope in some way that my guru and Srila Prabhupada and all the assembled devotees, the acharyas, those that are there to assist us in any way that we need, will give me the understanding to say something today that will have some effect on someone, because I come at the mercy of my guru, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who served as the gurus have served, Srila Prabhupada, in earnesty and sincerity. And I always say that if there's a mistake that I made, forgive me in advance, but don't blame him, blame me, because I'm still in the process of understanding and learning the scriptures, and I feel that it's a lifelong opportunity and it's a lifelong endeavor. And I've discovered that it never ever gets boring. So, to begin, it's chapter 15. Canto 11, chapter 15, and text 17. Except I don't know why the pages, it was in chapter 20. Is it chapter 15 on the board? Is it 15 on the board? Let me just double check, because
chapter 15, verse 17.
Okay. Because I've come here before and done a text that were not on the board. And at the mercy of Guru and Krishna, have explained it to the best of my ability. But in chapter 15, the description of mystic yoga perfection is given. And before we read the text, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Anganyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha.
I was born in the darkest of ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my sincere obeisances to my spiritual master. Text 17. Nirguni brahmana mai darayan visadamanaha paramanandam apnoti yatrakamo vasishyate. Nirguni brahmani mai darayan visadamanaha paramanandam apnoti yatrakamo vasishyate. Nirguni brahmani mai darayan visadamanaha paramanandam apnoti yatra kamo vasisyate. Is anyone present that would like to repeat that? Because if not, we'll go word for word. Nirgunya, without qualities. Brahmani, in Brahman. Mayi, in me. Darayan, concentrating. Visadam, pure. Manaha, the mind. Parama Anandam, the greatest happiness. Apnoti, obtains. Yatra, wherein. Kamaha, desire. Avasisyate, is completely fulfilled. And the translation, one who fixes his pure mind on me and my manifestation as the impersonal Brahman obtains the greatest happiness, wherein all his desires are completely fulfilled. And if we've been listening to the scriptures as they've been read, a couple of things should pop out in this translation. I'll read it again. One who fixes his pure mind on me in my manifestation as the impersonal Brahman obtains the greatest happiness, wherein all his desires are completely fulfilled. Now, if you didn't catch that, then maybe you'll catch it as we're going on, as I explain it. I will have to stop saying try and do. The purport. Paramananda, or the greatest happiness, here indicates the greatest material happiness. Since it is clearly stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that a devotee has no personal desire or kama, one who has personal desire is certainly within the material world and on the material platform. The greatest happiness is kama vasayita siddhi, or the perfection of completely obtaining anything that one desires. So really the catchphrase here is material happiness. Because just like this material body that we have, it is temporary. It is not permanent. And as we know, as a devotee, and it states here, a devotee does not need to have any personal desire. No need. Absolutely none. And as we're covering, initially in chapter 14, what was covered was the the yoga system, as Lord Krishna is explaining it to Uddhava. Now Lord Krishna is explaining to Uddhava the detailed description of the mystic yoga perfections. And he covers the eight primary perfections. Anima, which is becoming the smallest of the smallest, where one, if one chooses to, can enter a keyhole, if one wants to. Mahima, so one can be the greatest of the greatest. Lagima is becoming lighter than the lightest, where one could float or ride on the sun, the rays of the sun. Prapti is acquiring whatever one desires. Prakamya, experiencing any enjoyable object, either within this world or the next. Asita, the controlling potency, where one can manipulate the subpotencies of Maya. Vasita, the power to control others or keep oneself beyond the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And in text 17, Kamavasayita is the maximum power of controlling completely and obtaining anything that one desires, where all of one's desires are fulfilled. And to the untrained ear, this sounds great. But then if you think about it, if you ever really thought about it, what would it be like if we obtained every single thing that we wanted or desired? As we go through life, one is trying to obtain a good family, a good home, a good job, not necessarily in that order, but, and as one lives in the material world and sees the trappings of the material world, one wants to obtain things that seem to please others. And then if we've been really watching the news and really paying attention or giving our attention to the scriptures, even to the media, will understand that at some point after you've obtained every single thing that you want, if that is what one so desires, then what? It's as if all the motivation, to me, that would seem as if, okay, I've done it, now what? I think there was a song from the 50s, someone is singing a song of getting everything, and then it's at that point, is that it? And I think that's what most of us would be saying if we were able to obtain everything that we really wanted in the material world. But here's the thing. One can do all those things, but Krishna, Lord Krishna, can become the smallest of the smallest and enter into an atom, a particle of the atom. And I was looking in the on the internet, which is where it comes in handy sometimes, but sometimes it can be overwhelming. It can be an addiction. But I was looking to see what the value or what the size of the atomic particle is, and it was going into nanos. And I'm thinking nano means less than less than less than less. And I couldn't quite get a size on the atomic particle of the atom, the particle of the atom. So our minds probably couldn't even wrap around becoming that tiny. And then the other thing is that the Lord can become the greatest of the greatest as Mahavishnu, where he breathes in and out the various universes. To quote that exactly, because my memory is not the greatest in this material world, I don't think anybody's anything is the greatest any longer, because we're in the age of Kali. So we're seeing so many quality things that in various yugas were a little bit better than they are now. They're deteriorating. So let me read what was initially put into the scriptures and translated by Srila Prabhupada about our comparison or comparing the eight primary mystic perfections with Lord Krishna. It says, as I said, Mahavishnu, he breathes out one millions of the universes, and he can become so light that even great yogis cannot attain him or perceive him. And the Lord's acquisitive power is perfect because he keeps the total existence, everything within his body. So no matter what we acquire, we have absolutely nothing because the Lord has it all. The Lord certainly can enjoy whatever he likes, control all the energies, dominate all other persons, and exhibit complete omnipotency. Therefore, it is to be understood that these eight mystic perfections are actually insignificant. They're insignificant expansions of the mystic potency of the Lord, who in Bhagavad Gita is called Yogeshwara, the supreme Lord of all mystic potencies. These eight perfections are not artificial, they're real. They're natural. Because they originally exist in the supreme personality of Godhead. To not go beyond chapter 15, but to not give it away completely, we have to understand that as devotees, we don't even have to ask or desire mystic perfections or other potencies that the Lord has. As a sincere devotee, as a pure devotee, these potency will naturally come to us if we so desire, and even if we don't desire them, they're there. So there is no need of ever wanting to have these mystic potencies. And then what is the purpose of them? What do we do with them after, especially these eight primary ones? What significance is it to us? Because we're not really the biggest of anything. We're not the littlest of anything because the Lord acquires and has all of these potencies. So there's no sense in, what is that saying, tooting our own horn. There's no purpose to it. And as I said, these potencies are there, but for the devotee that can actually handle them. But then we also are to understand that as a devotee should have no personal desire for anything. A pure devotee depends completely on Lord Krishna for anything and everything. And that's a pretty big step for most of us because in this day and age, it's very difficult to even depend on clean water coming out of the faucet. As some of us may have experienced recently, we can't really depend on anything in this material world because it's all temporary. It takes humility, practiced and learned humility and humbleness to actually depend on the Lord. But then you think, if you're depending on the Lord, then you should also be serving him. We all, in some particular form or position, are serving someone. We're either serving our family, our mate, our job, the government. But out of all of these particular people or things that we're serving, none of them could possibly compete with what the Lord could give us. And the Lord actually wants to give us much, much more than we could possibly imagine. So, in honor of yesterday, which was Father's Day, why not serve the ultimate Father, Lord Krishna? A devotee does not have to hanker, as it said in text 17, after the Paramananda, or the greatest happiness. Because, as we said, the Lord is giving that to us. And it's there. But there are other processes that are important, and there's an ultimate position that we are to endeavor for. And we'll find that these potencies, these eight primary potencies, in addition to the 10 secondary ones, are actually going to hamper our performance. And I always like to read a little bit ahead of myself and see if I'm going to go beyond it. So I have to control the desire to give it away. But what we repeatedly come across in the scriptures is that devotional service is extremely important. We can go one step further and understand that even in the nature of the world, you will find that people, you will come across people that are the most beautiful, the richest. Let's see, I don't think I've ever heard of anyone being the happiest, at least in any long-term position, but they'll have wealth, beauty, and fame. But none of these things are so great that they give the individual eternal happiness. I've never heard of a millionaire. I've never heard of anyone in Hollywood or Bollywood or Nollywood that has been so beautiful and so famous that that was their complete endeavor in life and that it gave them complete and ultimate happiness until the time of them, until the time of their leaving their bodies. The point I'm saying is that as we are given these different mercies, boons, it is very important to use them wisely. We should be dovetailing what the Lord gives us. Whatever expertise, whatever benefits, whatever mercy we're getting, it has no purpose unless we're dovetailing it in devotional service. And we think of I was saying how one may not have ever come across a millionaire or someone that's so wealthy that it makes them happy. So we look back in the history and we think of King Ambarish, who was extremely wealthy. He ruled over the world. He achieved inexhaustible opulence and prosperity, but situations took place in his life, and the end result was that even as wealthy as he was and as opulent as the material that was given to him, he was able to give it up, to give it to his sons, and to live in the forest. We find that King Parikshit, a very saintly and wealthy king, after being cursed by the son of a sage to die within 7 days, did not run away from this. As a matter of fact, he accepted it head on and he went to the bank of the Ganges in Hastinapur, which I think is Delhi now. And he sat and he listened as Sukadev Goswami recited the Srimad Bhagavatam. The point that should be understood here is that the greatest service that we could ever give, we could ever do, in order to even benefit from the mercy of Lord Krishna, regardless of the mystic perfections, is to engage in bhakti yoga. We are very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada, when he came, did not come as many others did from the East with the understanding that we could have all of these mystic things happening in our lives. You can have this mystic potency, you could have this, you could have that, and he just left us there. We are so fortunate that he gave us the essence of the scriptures to know that outside of all of those things, none of them were as important as serving the Lord. Devotional service is very key. Sometimes we'll go through years and years of being a devotee and we don't taste the nectar of serving the Lord. When you are at a point where you are so happy to do, in other words, menial service for the Lord, and you're very happy, then you're beginning to understand and taste the benefits of bhakti yoga. And as I said, the Lord, because we are his children, has so much he wants to give us. We can't even perceive it or understand how much love and tolerance he's given us. And as a father, which I'm sure most people were yesterday, most men were anyway, you have to understand how important it is to give your children the value of the scriptures, of Krishna consciousness, because you cannot solidify them any better in growing and moving throughout the world and having a good foundation of who they are and where they've come from, and to have something that they can hold on to, something that is so rich that it will get them through their lives, even if they have to come back lifetime after lifetime. This was a very short sloka. I always like to give what is absolutely necessary. I always like to know that at some point, maybe Krishna arranges that something has been said that will enlighten someone or heighten someone's interest to study and want to know more about the scriptures, to know more about devotees, to know more about Krishna consciousness, to be able to observe devotees in the act of bhakti yoga. I said some time ago that I like, it's good to read, but it's also really good to enlist the participation of those in the audience. And I'm not going to scare anyone right now and ask them questions, but each time we go through the scriptures, whatever chapter, whatever canto we're going through, we're constantly hearing the importance of bhakti yoga, which is devotional service. In chapter 14, we understood that all of the yogas, if they're practiced to the proper extent, will eventually lead to bhakti yoga. Maybe if not in this lifetime, in the next lifetime. But ultimately, serving others, or serving Krishna by through serving others, is most important. The yoga system, the mystic perfection of yoga, all of the different things that one could do with mysticism, if we understand it, has absolutely no purpose to a sincere and pure devotee. It's nice to know what's available, but it's also important to know that there are some things that are available to us in the material world that we don't necessarily have to take part of. It's just that knowledge is important, but because we have been so fortunate, we understand that there are some things that are not necessarily beneficial to devotees, but it's good to understand. Knowledge is power. And Srila Prabhupada, to the very best of his ability, translated and transcribed this nectar from the scriptures, so that whether he was in his body or whether our spiritual masters were in their bodies, we had a guide to life and how to live. So it's very important that if we have an opportunity, we should take to coming to the temple as often as possible, having proper association of devotees, reading, chanting, participating in kirtan, and most of all and most important of all, realizing that all of these mystic potencies that sometimes bogus individuals bring to us, they're not to our benefit. The most important is bhakti yoga. It is serving and loving the Lord. And one of the most important ways of enjoying that service is doing it for someone else. As I said, it is a short sloka, but there is a lot that has been placed into it. So at this point, I'd like to open it up to those that are here and see if there are any questions or comment. But before I do that, let me just read that sloka, the translation again, so that we can fix our minds and meditate on it. And the translation is, one who fixes his pure mind on me. And understand, you're to read more into this. Just listen to what I'm saying. One who fixes his pure mind on me, in my manifestation as the impersonal Brahman, obtains the greatest happiness, wherein all his desires are completely fulfilled. And we're also to understand that a pure devotee does not have to have these desires to have to fix their mind on the Lord to get happiness. They will come. It will all come when one serves the Lord. And that the perfection of these mystic, of these cities, these mystic perfections actually are not for the benefit of the pure devotee. It's useless, absolutely useless. And the purport reinforces it by stating Paramananda, or the greatest happiness here, indicates the greatest keyword, material happiness. And as we stated, material world, material body, they're all temporary. And it is clearly stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that a devotee has no personal desire or kama. One who has personal desire is certainly within the material world and on the material platform. The greatest happiness is kamavasayita siddhi, or the perfection of completely obtaining anything that one desires. And also, as we stated, the devotee has no need to desire anything, because as a devotee, as a sincere and as a pure devotee, the Lord naturally provides all of our needs and wants. The key point and statement is that the Lord maintains what we have and he carries what we lack. And that also reminds me, and I'll end at this point, is that when I was growing up as a child in the Christian church, I remember the minister stating a verse from the Bible, and it was, "What is the point in one gaining the whole world and losing one's precious soul?" So, as food for thought, we'll end at that point. Does anyone here have any comments or questions that you would like to expound on or ask about? Oh, and our timing is good. Anyone have any comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned that knowledge is power. Nowadays, we hear a lot about empowerment, especially for women. You know, they should be like Wonder Women and be fully empowered. So how does a... What is it most people think empowerment means, and how does what is the real empowerment that comes from knowledge?
Let's see, let me understand this. You're asking me, what do most people think when they think of empowerment? Is that what you asked? And actually, that statement, I'm sure that I'm definitely repeating what's been said before, but to be aware of information or knowledge can either keep us from making a mistake, and I'm generalizing this, but it can either keep us from making a mistake or it can lead us in the right direction. So it could go either way. The other question of empowerment was, what was the other question? I'm sorry. How does power of knowledge turn into empowerment? Let me think of an example. That's a good question. How does knowledge of power turn into empowerment? Well, as a devotee for quite some time, I would have to use the response of a devotee. Let's say a devotee eventually discover, some sooner, some later, discover that they are not their bodies. Now, that can empower them to make some decisions that will put them steps closer to actually obtaining the goal of going back to Godhead. But going back, before we reach that point, it can also enhance their relationships with people so that we don't look at individuals as visual beings. Will look at a particular color or a particular group of people, and because of maybe the way we were raised or experiences that we have, we will have some certain formed opinion of that person or group. And in most cases, it limits our enjoyment or our association with that particular person or group because of some limited knowledge based on a person's body image. Now, the very fact that we have been empowered or given the knowledge that we are not our bodies means that we should be able to see the Lord in the heart, or at least begin to realize that the Lord is in the heart of every single individual. Every single individual, every single entity. And that we're one huge family. And that as one huge family, we should all be going for one common goal and not going for
well, this is the direction I want to go in. Well, this is the direction they want to go in. It's like the Three Musketeers, one for all and all for one. It helps us to have healthy relationships. We're empowered to do so many things when we're in the mood of love, of compassion, of understanding who we are and who others are. It gives us a great strength to go out, probably go beyond the limits of things that we would ordinarily do if we were locked into the concept of, this is the body I've got, this is what people think I'm supposed to do, and this is what I'll do. We lock ourselves in. And devotees, as a rule, are much too intelligent to limit themselves to that type of concept. Now, that was a little wordy, but did that answer any? Thank you for asking that. That was a very good question. Any other questions? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Could you please introduce yourself?
My name is Mother Swayam Prabha Devidasi, and I think I the empowerment of knowledge that I received was, you speak not to the material body, but directly to the spirit soul, and your results become much more powerful.
Very good point. Very nice thought.
That is my little tiny bit of empowerment.
Well, that's empowerment in itself. Please repeat your name again.
Mother Swayam Prabha.
Mother Swayam Prabha, thank you so much for sharing that. That's very true. When we're passing individuals.
That's what I was taught as a Sankirtan devotee. Don't be afraid of who you are approaching. Just speak to Super Soul. Don't see the individual. The empowerment of knowledge came from always knowing that you only have one person, and that is Super Soul to speak to.
Yes. Very nice thought. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all see each other that way?
I have to always remind myself.
Yes.
Constantly remind myself. And sometimes I don't think my desire is strong enough, because sometimes you don't always get the results you want.
True, that is very true.
You pray, you talk to the Super Soul, but you know Krishna's going to give you what you need.
He will. But we never give up on trying. Ever. Never. Ever. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, did you want to make another point, or was that it? All right. So, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru, and all glories to Sri Sri Garangaji Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.